Today, we begin the first week of Lent, the first Sunday of Lent. And like many times in the life of the church, whenever we begin something like this, we hear a very familiar gospel story. Today, we hear the story of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Now, like all familiar gospel stories, sometimes we begin and suddenly our mind wanders away and we're thinking of something else because the words are so familiar that we just normally, naturally do that. That happens to me usually on Christmas Eve as I walk down the aisle like proclaiming the Christmas story and I'm reading it, but then my mind is reciting the words I learned a long time ago, and the translation that we use isn't quite the same, and pretty soon I'm getting all mixed up, and I have to sort of redirect myself and get on, right on course and go back to the text and actually look at it before I read it. That's what happens when something is so familiar. So that can happen to us too as we begin our Lenten journey and we hear this very familiar story of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. In fact, this is such an important story even in the Gospels that for three of the four Gospels record this kind of event in the life of Jesus. That also indicates to us how terribly important it is for us to think about it, because no matter whose Gospel you were reading, it was there. So what does it mean, really? When we do have such a pattern in the various Gospels, we find that each one emphasizes something a little bit different. So this year, as we read from the Gospel of Luke, we need to look at this particular telling of this story and kind of find out for ourselves, what does it mean? On the surface, it's a very simple story. You know, Jesus went to the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days, and because he was hungry, he got tempted. Any of you who've ever tried to fast a little bit, whether it's maybe a diet or something, you know, it's pretty soon after that first day, everything that you thought you could do without suddenly looks awfully good. And usually you begin rummaging through the cabinets to find whatever it was you said you didn't really want to eat anymore. You know, there's all the rage, all the fad diets that we have, no carbs, no this, no that. And then suddenly, you're on a no-carb diet, you're eating crackers. You normally don't eat crackers, but there they are. So imagine Jesus. And this is particular to this particular story. Luke makes a point that Jesus didn't only spend 40 days in the wilderness, which is no mean feat all by itself, but he didn't eat the whole time he was there. Didn't eat. I can't get through 4 hours, much less 40 hours or 40 days. So I can't imagine in my own experience what Jesus must have felt like. Luke obviously tells us he was famished. Well, hello? We could understand that. That's a human experience, and that's exactly the point, is that this temptation of Jesus that he's experiencing is a basic human need. We need to eat. A lot of us like to eat, to be sure, but we all need to eat. And when we are deprived of food, our body, our mind, our soul starts to tell us, eat something, will you please? And so, the devil comes to Jesus. He says, see that rock there? It looks an awful lot like a loaf of bread. Maybe he was thinking Jesus might hallucinate it into reality. He even tells Jesus, you know, you claim this close relationship with this God who is the creator of everything that is, including this rock. Just have him change this one little rock into a loaf of bread for you. No harm done, no foul. Who's going to miss this rock? Jesus sees through that. And he says to Satan, to the devil, he says, no. No, because we do not live only on bread. There are other important things in our life. And you could say dot, dot, dot after that. And when I get back home, there will be bread enough for me there. I'm not staying here forever. So the devil says, okay, well, that didn't work. Let's try something else. So he takes Jesus and he shows him in his mind's eye. He showed them all the kingdoms of the world, it said, and all of the authority that goes with it, all of the power that's there. You know, and many of us would not probably relate to that as easily as the eating one, but it's still there for us. Because power, when we have power, we sit in a sense of security. When we have power over our own lives, when we are self-determining, when we have, you know, we even have words like, you know, I want to be king of my own castle, lord of all of my domain, whatever it is. We sometimes joke about it, but that's really what we're talking about, that our homes, for example, you know, the perimeter of our homes, the walls of our houses and our apartments, they provide us a certain sense of security. Once we're there, we lock the door and we feel safe. We're no longer vulnerable to the problems of the world. And that's okay. Just like eating is okay, that's okay too. But when we get so concerned about our safety that we begin to invest resources in it that really don't make much sense anymore, that then suddenly, you know, we become, some people might say, paranoid. You know, we have to have 6 levels of alarm systems, and we want to make sure that we build walls around our properties, and we want gated communities, and we want this, that, and the other thing. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that sense of security, we even bring it to international affairs, where we start talking about national security. And we invest all of our resources that we do, so much of our resources, into making sure that we are safe and secure. The only way we can do that is to be sure that we are powerful, that we can overpower any enemy that threatens us. Well, in and of itself, it's not a bad thing. But just like eating, when is enough enough? You know, because even eating, oh, Jesus needed a piece of bread, to be sure. But how many of us go through our lives and we make sure that our larders are full, our cabinets are full of things, cans, boxes of things, that eventually we read on the outside this, you know, it's fresh by date or expired, and you realize, I can't eat that, and you toss it in the garbage. How much of that do we really need? How much do we have to store up in our storehouses, in our silos? How much do we really have to gather to ourselves? Not only food, but other things as well. Because we may need that someday in the future. And I don't feel good. I don't feel secure. I don't feel powerful if I don't have all these things around me. The question becomes, how much is enough? Food, security. The devil didn't get very far with that one, so he decides to do yet another one. And this is the one that's usually the place where we fail the most. And that's about our ego. Who do we think we are? He takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. And that's specifically the highest point in Jerusalem. And he tells Jesus to throw himself down. Because after all, if you really are who you think you are, then God will make sure you don't hurt yourself. How many times have we done that? How many times have we placed ourselves in harm's way? Doing things we know we're not supposed to do. Doing things that we're told will hurt us. And yet we do them anyway. Not the same thing? Is that not tempting God? If we go through and we know in our heart of hearts what is right, what is true, what is good for us, and we refuse to accept that, after all, God will take care of me. We just went through a pandemic. How many times did I hear people say, oh, I don't need any of that because God, I have faith. I have faith. God will make sure I never get sick. God will take care of me. You know, there's a story about a man who had faith. There was a flood coming. You've heard this one. And suddenly, the waters start rising. The sheriff comes by and says, time to evacuate everybody out. He says, no, I have faith. God will take care of me. Pretty soon, the waters start coming up a little higher. Now, this time, there's a boat that comes by. And they say, get in, hop in. We'll take you to safety. Oh, God, I have faith. God will take care of me. And then it gets so high that the man is up on the rooftop, and there's a helicopter that drops a ladder down and say, get up, come on, we'll take you to safety. He says, oh, no, I have faith, God will take care of me. Suddenly the floodwaters come and sweep him away, drowns, and he dies. And then he's at the gate of heaven, and he meets God, and he says, why did you not protect me? Why did you not take care of me? I had such faith in you. And God said, I sent you the sheriff, I sent you a man in a boat, and I sent you the helicopter. What more do you want from me? That's a funny little joke. But it is the way we tempt God. When God gives us all that we need, just enough, we pray that every day. Give us today our daily bread. And then we say immediately after that, and put us not to the test. Give us what we need. And ask us not to be worried about tomorrow or the day after or the day after that or what I might need in a year and a half. We tempt God all the time. But what is it then that Jesus is trying to get across? Oh, not that he's some magical person who can make stone into bread, but he refuses to do it. No, he's basically trying to teach us that what we need to do is we need to look at our lives, and we need to examine ourselves carefully, and we have to see and answer the question, when is enough enough? Because we begin to answer that question truthfully and honestly and righteously, when we do believe that God will provide. And that one of the ways in which God provides is that we cooperate with God. We don't simply throw it all at God and say, here, you take care of it. No. He gives us gifts. He gives us power in the Spirit. He gives us faith in Christ. He gives us life in the resurrection. Even though we die, we know that we will live. So why do we constantly think that we need to do everything in our power to gather so much bread, so much power, and build up our egos in such a way that we ourselves forget who we are? And that God is God and we are the children of God. And that all he asks us to do is to love one another. To make sure that if you have more than enough bread, the one who does not is fed. To make sure that if you have more than enough security and you are safe in your environments, that you invite someone else in who is not. And that you don't simply turn your back and say, okay, God, you take care of them. I'm taking care of myself. Three temptations, Jesus said. And he overcame all of them. All of them are human temptations. And he didn't overcome them because he was God's son. He overcame them because he knew who he was as a child of God. He knew who he was and that God was the center of his life. And that it was the power and the wisdom of God that guided him always. He does that so that we will follow that same path, that same way. He does that for us to know that nothing we encounter in this life is beyond our capacity. Because with God, all things are possible. This Lenten time in which we now journey, This Lenten time is a time for us to step back, to think on these things, to take our time, to look around, to make sure we notice where God is at work in our lives, and then to give thanks and praise to God for all of that. And not to see ourselves as responsible for ourselves, but that with God and cooperating with God, we will have all that we need and more than enough if we know how much is enough. And then we begin to love one another by sharing out what we have, supporting one another, guiding one another, helping one another. These two things we've heard, they are the law and the prophets. Everything right there in Jesus. So my friends, as we face these own temptations, step back, take your time, think about it. If you're facing any of these temptations or anything like it in your life, then take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, am I relying on God or my own strength, my own capacities, my own way? Whatever answer you come up with, you know what the right one is. And it gives us some time to adjust, to think hard and carefully and long, so that when we emerge from our Lenten time, like when Jesus emerges from the wilderness, we will be on our way. But you know, Luke gives us one little bit of advice at the end of it all. The devil left Jesus. He waited for an opportune time. It's never over. That's the trick. We can't simply say we've got it down. We know what we're doing. I've got my faith. Everything is fine. There will always be that opportune time. For Jesus, it was when he was alone and dying on the cross. And the devil came to him and said, see, he's abandoned you. But Jesus, in the end, did not give in. Lead us not into temptation. Put us not to the test. And deliver us from evil. Those are real things. They are in our lives and in our world today. Open your hearts and your minds. And allow the power of Christ's Spirit risen from the dead to reach into you, to change and transform you, that you might walk this way with Jesus.